Perek Tes Mishnah Yud Beis until Perek Yud Mishnah Gimel. As we know, if someone steals from someone else and falsely swears that he didn't steal from him, if he later confesses that he did steal from him, then he has to do two things. Number one, he has to pay the owner Keren Vachomesh, which is the actual item which he stole, plus a fifth of its value, or a quarter of its value, though it's known as a fifth. Plus, he also has to bring a Karban Asham. Now, the previous Mishnah brought a case of someone who steals from a convert. A convert has no relatives, so if you steal from a convert and then the convert dies, then you can't pay his relatives. So what you do, the Mishnah said, you pay the Karban. Now, if the Gazlan dies, then the Gazlan's children do not need to give the money the Keren Vachomesh. Why? Because the whole reason to give the money is only as an atonement, not to compensate the person who was stolen from, of course, because he's dead. You're giving it to the Kohanim, so therefore it's only as an atonement, and since he's dead, he doesn't require an atonement, and therefore the children will not need to pay the money. Now, this Mishnah says, Nosanas HaKesef. What happens if the Gazlan gave the money, Lanche Mishmar, to the men of the Mishmar? This refers to the Kohanim. The Kohanim were split into 24 Mishmaros, 24 groups who would serve in the Beit HaMikdash a week at a time. So, they would serve in the Beit HaMikdash for a week and then have 23 weeks off and then serve in the Beit HaMikdash for another week. So, whoever the Kohanim were at that time, when this person gives the money, so he would give it to them, to the Anche Mishmar, who was working in the Beit HaMikdash that week. And after he gave the money, Vames, then the Gazlan died. Before his second part of the Kapara, the second part of his atonement was done. What's the second part? Bring the Karban. So the Mishnah says, Eina Yoshim Yechim L'Hitzim Yadam. The inheritors of the Gazlan can't take back the money from the Kohanim, because since the money was already given to the Kohanim, it was an atonement for the Gazlan, because he was alive at the time. Shlomo, as the Pasuk says, Isha Shayitin LaKohen Lo Yeh. Someone who gives money or something to the Kohen, it belongs to the Kohen. It served as part of the Kapara for the Gazlan, and therefore they can't take the money back. Now the Torah, when discussing the case of someone who steals from a ger and then the ger dies, and so there are no inheritors, it says that you pay back the money to the Kohen, as well as bringing a korban asher yechaper be'olov, through which you will atone. You will gain an atonement through that korban. Now if you notice, it says that you will, not that you are. It says in the future tense, you will get an atonement from the korban, which implies that at the time that you bring the money, when you give the money to the Kohanim, the korban has not yet been bought. Meaning that when you, what's the order of these two things? We see from the Pasuk that you've got to give the money first to the Kohen and only then bring the Karban. So the Mishnah says, Nosanas HaKesef LiHayoriv. If the Gazlan gave the money to Yehayoriv, that was the name of the first Mishmar, the first of the 24 groups of Kohanim, and then you waited a few days, V'osham LiYedaya, you gave the Karban to Yedaya, which was the name of the second Mishmar, the Mishmar who served in the Beis HaMikdash a week later. Yotzo, you fulfill your obligation, because that's the order which the Torah says you've got to do it in. However, V'osham LiHayoriv, V'chesef LiYedaya, what happens if you do it in the wrong way around? You give the Karban to the first Mishmar, and then a few days later you give the money. So in Kaim HaOsham, if the Karban Osham is still there, it hasn't yet been brought up yet, they gave it to the people, they gave it to the Kohanim to give up, but to offer up, but they hadn't yet brought it up. So then this guy's lucky, because the money was given before the Karban Osham was brought up. Even though the Kohen got the Karban Osham before the money, he didn't offer it up before, and therefore, Yakavu B'nei Yedaya, the Mishmar of that week, can just bring the Karban, because the Kohanim have already received their money. However, the Imloy, if that's not the case, meaning they bought the Karban Osham before the Kohanim received the money, then Yachsav Yovi Osham Acher, Gazan has to bring another separate Osham, because the Osham bought before the money was given is nothing. He hasn't got his Kapori, he hasn't got his atonement yet, because the rule is, Shamevi Gzeyat Shlevi Ashom Ayotza. If you bring your money, meaning you return the stolen object, or the value of the object, before you bring the Karban, then Yotza, you fulfilled your obligation, and you have got an atonement. However, Hevi Ashom Ashlevi Gzeyle, if you bring the Karban first, then Leyotza, you have not fulfilled obligation, and it's not considered as if you've got an atonement. Says the Mishnah, Nosanas HaKeren. What happens if you gave the Keren the actual amount, of the actual value of the stolen object, but for Lo Nosanas HaChomesh, he hasn't yet given the extra fifth which he needs to bring. So what happens if the Osham is bought at that point? He's given the money, but he hasn't given the extra money. So the Mishnah says, In HaChomesh Ma'akev, the Chomesh, the extra fifth, does not prevent the Korban Osham working. And therefore, all he needs to do is now give the Chomesh, give that extra money, and it'll be okay, because at least the Korban was bought after the main money was given. Perek Yud, we continue to discuss the halachas of a gazlan, and the mission tells us that hagozel umachas bonos, someone who steals something from someone else, let's say he steals food, and then feeds that food to his children, or ve'niach lifneim, he just gave it to the children, and then he died, and the children ate it after the father died. Either way, the point is that the thing which was stolen is no longer in the same state as it was when it was stolen. And therefore, since the father has now died, even though usually the inheritors would have to pay back the stolen item, patrum l'shalom, in this case, they are exempt from paying back the stolen item, because they didn't steal it, and it's no longer in the same state as it was when it was stolen. So really they have very little to do with the actual stealing, and therefore they don't need to pay back. The Gemara explains this is only in a case where the original owner of the item has given up hope of getting back the money, or getting back the food which was stolen from him. But if he hasn't yet had yiush, if he hasn't yet given up hope of getting the money back, then he's still considered the owner of the thing. So it wasn't even passed down in the inheritance. And therefore the inheritors will need to give back the money. In fact, says the Mishnah, even if the owners have given up hope, if the inheritors also have something which has achrayas, achrayas is short for achrayas nechosim. Achrayas nechosim means that if, for example, I borrow money from you, and I come to collect my money, and you don't have enough money to pay me back. The halacha is, if you have land, I'm allowed to collect from that land. I can take over that land. That's known as achrayas nechosim. So, dovo shish b'achrayas refers to land. And the halacha is that even in this case, where the stolen item has been changed, and even though the owners have given up hope, nevertheless, since the inheritors have land, the original owner can come and collect from the land, and get his payment in that way. So, Chayav Nishalim, the inheritors are obligated to pay, and the reason for this is that even before the father died, there was already an Achrayas Nechosim attached to the land. That land was always a guarantee for the owner, and therefore the owner can collect from that land. Continues the Mishnah, in Purim, one is not allowed to exchange money, meaning to get change from someone, from the box or pouch of a tax collector. These are two different types of tax collectors, and you're not allowed to get change from them. The reason for that is because we assume that a lot of that money is stolen money. They're very often dishonest tax collectors. This would obviously only apply in a case where we suspect him of being a thief, and if that is the case, then you can't get money from him. Why? Because that means you're benefiting from an avera. You're benefiting from the thing which he stole, and that is forbidden. Furthermore, the inid mehem stocker, you can't take charity from them, because again, that's benefiting from their avera. However, avon notel hum toich beso, but you could take money from him, either as tzedakah or just as change, if it's from his personal house. We assume the money in his house is not from there. He keeps the taxes separately, he's scared that the king might catch him, and therefore he keeps all of that in the tax box. And therefore you can take money from his personal house, omen ashuk, or if he's in the marketplace, let's say selling something or even just giving someone tzedakah, again there we assume it's his own money, and therefore in that case you could take money from him. Mishnah base. Not lu moichsen es chamuro. If the tax collectors, again we're talking about dishonest ones, if they took his donkey, they stole his donkey, not lu chamuro acher, and they gave him a different donkey. Let's say they liked his donkey, so they wanted his donkey, but he gave back a different donkey. Remember, everything which he has, we assume is stolen. So he's basically giving you a stolen donkey. Or gos lismas ksusay. If thieves come into someone's house and they steal his clothes, venos lu ksus acheres, but they give him someone else's clothes. They give him clothes, and we assume it's someone else's. There's a Mishnah, interestingly, hari elu shaloi. You're allowed to keep those things. Why? Because the original owner has certainly given up hope of ever getting them back. And the halacha is that if the original owner gives up hope of getting them back, and then a sale goes on with the thing that he stole, those two things create a situation in which they're no longer considered the original owners. He loses ownership over them. So this person who has received the donkey or the clothes, it is considered his, and therefore he can keep it. So according to what we just said, if someone's belongings get stolen, he gives up hope of ever getting them back. He has yush. He gives up hope. However, the following part of the Mishnah seems to contradict that, because the Mishnah says, Hamatzmananoi, someone who saves things from a river, let's say a river washes things from someone else's property, and someone else sees in the river there's a nice gold watch, let's say, and he reaches out and he takes it, Ominagaius, or from an enemy army, I'm gonna list them, or from thieves. In this case, you can't automatically assume that the owner's given up hope. It's only emisiyash rabaylib. Only if you specifically find out that they have given up hope. For example, you hear him saying, oyvei, I lost my thing, I'm never gonna get it back. Only in that case, harei shaloi, then you can keep it. So the Gemara explains the reason why the Mishnah seems contradicting itself is because in the first case, where we assume the owner automatically gives up hope, that's when the robber is Jewish. Why does that make a difference? Because if the thief is Jewish, then the person he stole from will have to take him to a Jewish court. And we know that the Beis Din only believe things if there are two witnesses who saw it happen. And therefore it's much more difficult to get someone to pay back the money in a Jewish court. So he's going to give up hope. He's going to say, oh, I'm never going to find two witnesses. I'm never going to get the money back. But in the second case, we're talking about a non-Jewish robber. And therefore you can go to a non-Jewish court, and non-Jewish courts believe evidence even if there aren't witnesses. And therefore he's more likely to take him to court and less likely to give up hope of ever getting it back. Continues the mission of a chen chushal devarim, similarly a swarm of bees. Midaraisa, according to the Torah, you can't really own bees, because whereas other things, other sort of little animals, if they're in your property for a long time, then automatically you acquire them. However, when it comes to bees, bees are constantly flying around, and even if they live in your beehive, they always fly out, and therefore they're not considered owned by you just because they're in your property. However, midrabbanan, in order to avoid arguments, and so that there's a clear law as to who owns these, we say that you can indeed own bees. So if bees go into your beehive, then you acquire them like that. So the Mishnah is telling us that if your bees fly into someone else's property, even though you only own them midrabbanon, we still don't assume that you automatically give up hope of getting them back. Because at the end of the day, even if it's midrabbanon, you still own them. And therefore, only in misyashra abaylim, only if you know for sure that the owner has given up hope, then you can keep them. Otherwise, you assume that the owner has not given up hope and he wants to get them back. And since midrabbanon, he owns them, you're not allowed to keep them. Now the halacha is that a woman and a child are invalid witnesses. If they give testimony about something which happened, they're not believed. However, since in this case the whole ownership of the bees is midrabbanon, there are certain leniencies which apply. Says the Mishnah, Omar Rabbi Yochanan Bereika said, Ne'emenes ish oy katan leimar. A woman or a child is believed to say, Mikanyot l'chol zeh, from this field, from here, is where the swarm of bees came out of. Now the Gemara explains, they're only believed in this case if the owner of that field is actually also running after the bees. So there's already an indication that it belongs to him, and also, so the woman or child can't be intending to testify. They just say, oh, they came from here, but they don't actually intend to go through the whole process of the testimony, and in such a case, they will be believed. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, what happens if someone has lots of bees, and a big swarm of them start flying out into someone else's field? The owner of the bees is allowed to mahalich v'soste chavei lahatlas nechilo. He's allowed to go into that field where the bees have now flown into, in order to save and retrieve his bees, even if he's inevitably going to do damage there by running through the field. However, obviously, v'im hizik, if he does do damage, then mishalom hashizik will have to pay for that damage, but he's allowed to do that in order to save his bees. However, avol leyoka it's a seicho. He can't cut the other person's branch. If the bees have all gathered onto one branch, and if he starts collecting them individually, then obviously the rest of them will fly away. So he's got a simple solution. Cut off the branch and take the branch back into his field, and then he'll have all the bees in his field. However, the Mishnah says he's not allowed to do that because that is much more permanent and more serious damage than just going through his field. Even if he does it on condition that he's going to pay the money back. The Mishnah says he's not allowed to do that in this case because this is more severe damage, and therefore he'll have to try and get the bees back in another way. This is all Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereika's opinion. However, his son, interestingly, Rabbi Yishmael ben Yosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereika, Omer, Rabbi Yishmael, his son, says, he argues, he can even cut it, and then obviously have to pay for it, but he is allowed to go through that process in order to save his bees. And Rabbi Yishmael's opinion is based on the fact that he says that at the time that the Jews entered Eretz Yisrael in the times of Yeshua, one of the conditions of taking over the land, and one of the laws which was placed immediately when they entered the land, was this law, that if you need to save your bees, or you have a similar situation, then you are allowed to, as long as you pay for it, you are allowed to cut off the branch. Mishnah Gimel. Previously in the Masechta, we've mentioned briefly the fact that if someone steals something from someone else, and the original owner has not yet had yiyush, he hasn't yet given up hope of retrieving that item, then the thief has not acquired the item. However, if the original owner has given up hope, and the thief then sells that item, or possibly even changes its location, in that case, the buyer from the thief has acquired that item. So the Mishnah tells us, Hamakeh Kelov Usfarav Biad Acher, someone who recognizes his utensils, or his clothes, or his books, someone else's property, in someone else's hand. Someone else has his things. So let's say Reuven sees that Shimon is holding his book. And Reuven even has witnesses to say that this book originally belonged to Reuven. The only thing we need to work out is whether Reuven sold it, or whether it was stolen from Reuven. So the Mishnah tells us, we're talking about a case where v'yotzalei shem geneva bo'er. Before Reuven found that Shimon had it, it was publicized in the city about this theft. Meaning there were rumors going around already in the city, in the streets, that Reuven's book had been stolen. Now, just because Shimon has his book there, doesn't mean Shimon stole it. Because it's very likely that Shimon may have bought it from the thief. And this is exactly what Shimon claims. Shimon claims, oh, I bought it from someone. I didn't realize he'd stolen it. I bought it from him. Now, clearly in this case, Reuven had not yet had yiyush. He hadn't yet given up hope of retrieving the item, and therefore, like we said before, Shimon has not acquired the item, because Shimon can only acquire the item if the original owner has given up hope of getting it back. And therefore, really, the halacha should be that Reuven is allowed to just take the book from Shimon, and it's taflak for Shimon. However, the Chacham instituted something called takonas hashuk. This means that if someone buys something from someone else in a public area, like a marketplace, and the buyer does not know that it was stolen, he thinks he's just buying something which the owner owned, which the seller owned, then even if it comes out later, it's discovered that it was stolen, and the original owner comes and demands the item, the buyer does not need to give him back the item for free. He doesn't need to give back the item, however, he can demand being paid for it. If the original owner wants to buy it off him, he can, but otherwise, if the original owner is not willing to pay for it, then this person, in our case, it was Shimon, he is allowed to keep Reuven's book. And the reason for this takonas hashuk is so that people buy things. Otherwise, we will be worried that, hey, this might be stolen, and they'll stop doing business, really. They'll be much more cautious about buying things, and we don't want to make life so difficult, and therefore, we have this concept of a takonas hashuk. And therefore, the halacha is, Yishol Ali Keach, the buyer, Shimon, should swear to Reuven, come on, Nosan, how much he paid for it, the Yitol, and you can take that money, and then give back the book. Vim Lav, however, if not, meaning if there were not rumors going around the city that Ruvain's book had been stolen, then Lake Colimenu, he doesn't have the power, he's not able to just demand that Shimon sell it back to him, because it's very possible that he sold it to someone else. Maybe it did originally belong to him, but he sold it to someone else, and this Shimon bought it from the someone else. And therefore, if Shimon does not want to sell it back to him, then he does not need to, Shani Omer. So I could just say, Mechon Acher, he sold it to someone else, Lekochon Zahimenu, and Shimon bought it from that person. And therefore, Ruvain is not believed, so Shimon does not need to sell it back to him unless Shimon wants to.